Hey, sweet. Little Rose is sitting on the floor waving at me. I certainly need your prayers as I stand before you. I'm thankful for the humble prayer that's gone before. Ask each of you to continue to pray for me this morning as I make an effort to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be a servant this morning. I want to be one that follows Him and the direction He gives me and the way that He leads me. I believe last night He blessed us with some thoughts from a particular passage of Scripture, but I want to be sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be this morning, following the leadership of the Lord this morning. I do feel led to be at the same place I was looking last night, which I pray is of the Lord, and that He would bless us together to study a little while in His Word and learn the truth that He has for us in this particular part of the Scripture, which is the same truth as the entirety of the Bible, and that's the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the gospel. And if you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I call your attention to the book of 1 Peter. And my thoughts this morning will be around chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we begin reading right at the very first verse. We'll probably read down, we'll see. And beginning at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, probably through verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We find right at the beginning of the book the name of the one who's doing the writing, and that is the Apostle Peter. I think of when Peter was called as a fisherman into the service of Almighty God. Jesus came where they were fishing, and they had fished and had not caught anything, had been fruitless in their efforts of trying to catch fish. And they knew how to fish, but they hadn't gotten anything. Sometimes that's the way it works. And Jesus came where they were and told them to just take Him out a little bit from the ship. And there in one of their ships, as they were cleaning their nets, and He took them out into the ship, and Jesus sat there at the ship and talked from the ship to those on the shore. His words taught the truth. And then He told Peter to just go out into the deep and you'll have a draw to fishes. Launch out into the deep. And Peter said, Lord, we fished all night long, and we've not caught anything. But He said, nevertheless, at Thy word, we'll do it. And so he went out and did that. And they caught so many fish that the boat began to, the nets all to broke. The nets broke, they were broken. And they said the boat was full of fish, so much so they had to call another ship, which happened to be the sons of Zebedee and his sons, James and John. See how the Lord's working in all this? James and John. And there they come out, and the ship, now get this, they've been fishing all night long, hadn't caught a thing. That's man's efforts. The Lord blessed their efforts. And as they did what the Lord told them to do, He filled their boat with fishes, and both boats filled up so much that both boats began to sink. Isn't that wonderful how God can do that? And that was really their last experience at fishing, in a sense, for a while. Because at that point, the Lord said, you know, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're no longer going to fish for fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I found, as a minister of the gospel, if I'm anything, I'm wanting to find God's little children. I'm wanting to find those fish, God's little children, and I want to feed them. But just like they went out there and made their best efforts and caught nothing, I also know that if the Lord doesn't bless our efforts, we'll catch nothing. I also know He can fill your boat up so much that you feel like the boat's going to sink. I know He can do that. What a wonderful God Peter had. What a wonderful Lord. They called him from what he had called him from. Later on, we do see Peter after he denied the Lord and all that had taken place after the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he went a fishing again. And he went out there and he had just as much luck as he had the first time on his own. And that's what luck will do for you and what man will do for you. You know, it really, they didn't catch a thing until the Lord told him to put your net over on the right side. And then they caught a net full of fishes. And the Lord didn't need their fish. He already had their fish on the fire. He already had that ready for them and fed them from the fish the meal He'd already cooked for them. But just to show who can bless our life, I want you to see today who can bless your life. What we can do on our own, nothing. What we can do with Him, all things that He would give us strength and the ability to do. Peter understood that. Peter, by the grace of God, had been taught that. And Peter here is telling us as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who want to make Peter more than he is, and there are some who want to ignore Peter altogether. We don't want to ignore Peter because the Lord had blessed him and made him to be a fisher of men. But God didn't make him His representative on earth, like some people who believe Peter is the, you know, he's the rock of the church and the one that the church is built on, and the church is built on Peter, and that Peter was the chief of the apostles, and that he's the one who stands in place. I even hear silliness today of a man who even thinks the Lord's Prayer needs to be changed because it's not just right. I want you to know that man does not have that authority. That was given, and by the way, no man has that authority. It was given only unto the Lord. And I'm not the head of this church, and I know you're glad of that. It would be a mighty weak place if I was the rock on which it was built, because sometimes I get really shaken. The rock we have does not get shaken with the storms and the problems of life. The one we're founded upon, the Lord Jesus Christ, changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're like me, I'm like the wind. One day I might be on track pretty good, and the next day I'll be so far off track, I am in and out. I'm like Peter. Sometimes I'm trusting and leaning upon the Lord, and sometimes my faith gets weak, and I may even deny Him. I know this, He will not deny Himself, nor will He deny me, because I belong to Him. I am His, bought and paid for. And I'm not the one who can keep myself. I'm not the one that I'm to trust in. And I am not encouraging you to trust in me. I'm encouraging you with all that's in me to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Because He's the one who can fill the boat. He's the one who can fill your nets. He's the one who can keep your nets from breaking. He's the one who can bring the things that you need in your life. He knows what we need better than we know. And every day, every single day, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Peter wrote as an apostle. Now, an apostle had authority. His authority came from Jesus. Jesus sent him directly. He gave him the words to preach, and then he signified that, confirmed that with signs that followed, powerful signs of the Holy Spirit followed the apostles to confirm that what they were saying about Jesus, using the Old Testament text, being able to preach the word from the Old Testament to bring forth the things that were in types and shadows in the Old Testament, brought them to life, and those things testified of Jesus Christ. When he walked on the road with the two to Emmaus, Jesus opened up the scriptures to them, and he went to those Old Testament texts, those Old Testament passages written by the prophets, by the inspiration of God, and there he declared the things concerning himself, about him coming to this world, about being born, about living his life perfectly and dying on a cross and paying a sin debt where he redeemed his people from their sins. Didn't try to do it, didn't want to do it, he came to do it, and he did it. And when he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, the work of redemption was complete in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're here to declare that message. Peter declares it as an apostle. We're not apostles, but we are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those hopefully, prayerfully, those faithful men that are to follow, that we're to preach and to teach those things and earnestly contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints, unto the apostles, and that we're to declare that to God's little children today. Isn't it wonderful to know the good news of today was good on that day when Peter spoke it here in 1 Peter, and it'll be good tomorrow, it's good for today. You and I have a message that God's little children need to keep in their minds, that there's a Savior that you and I can look to who has promised unto us good things. It's good news, not bad news, not sad news, good news. It's as cold water to a thirsty soul. Are you a thirsty soul? If you are, it's because you have life given to you by God, and there's a cold cup of cold water. And when God's little children that are called to preach the gospel can find others of God's little children who are hungering and thirsting for the gospel, we have the gospel of as a cold drink of water for the thirsty soul, as bread, as good news from a far country, that which we need to share today for God's little children that'll comfort your heart and that'll meet your needs no matter what trial you're going through with. Peter wrote as an apostle, and he wrote as an apostle not of just anyone. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was one sent directly by Jesus Christ. Jesus means Savior. Christ means the Messiah. He is the God of heaven, the Son of God, the one who came and was born and lived and died on the tree of the cross and gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he writes to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I believe God had a little people among those people. Not everybody there, but his people. And they were strangers. And I believe strangers in the sense that, yes, they were Jews away from home because they had been scattered. The Jewish people, especially believers, had been scattered. And the reason persecution and tribulation had scattered them, and they had scattered among in foreign lands. They were strangers because they were not at home. I ask you, sometimes do you feel like you're not at home, that I'm a stranger here below? The hymn writer said, "I'm a stranger here below, and what I am, 'tis hard to know. I am so vile, so full of sin." You see, when God awakens to a person to his great need, he might feel at home in this world until he's awakened to what he is by nature, and he sees himself as a sinner, lost and undone. He realizes this world is really not my home. I don't fit here anymore. I'm here, but I don't really fit here. The things that I used to enjoy, I can't enjoy them like I used to do. I can't take my fill of them like I used to do. I can get in them for a while and for the moment kind of get wrapped up in them, but then there's an emptiness that comes. There's a hollowness about it. There's a shallowness about it. That if that's all that I had was this, even if all we had was the spiritual things of this world, if we had hope in this life only, if we had hope in Christ in this life only, we would still be, if it was all just about here, if it was all the way from the time I was born till the time I died, and that's all that it was, then I would still be, and you would still be, of all men, most miserable. Even if we had all the good things, if I had hope in Christ in this life only, if it was just here. I'll tell you, this life is beautiful for a little child of God who's walking with the Lord every day. He walks with Him. He can fill your days up, can't He? He can give you peace. He can give you rest. He can give you joy. He is our joy. Not only can He give it to you, He is our rest. He is our peace. He is our joy. He is our, if we submit to Him, as the Scripture said, submit yourselves therefore to God. And that doesn't mean we make Him ours. We belong to Him because He chose us. And this text tells us that. It clearly says that we are the elect of God. We're not the elect of God because we did something to get elect. All you have to do is read Romans 9 and study it, and you'll see there's absolutely nothing man can do to get himself an elect, and nothing he would do. It was God's choice, even before we had done any good or evil. But the purpose of God according to election might stand. He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The elder shall serve the younger. God makes choice of His people. And these were His people, and they were scattered abroad. They were strangers because this world had become a strange place to them. They were strangers naturally, but I believe they were strangers spiritually too. This world is not my home. Do you feel like you're not fitting in? Feel like the world's going one way and you feel led to go another way? Oh, there's a part of your old nature that wants to go along with the world. There's a part of your old nature that has an appetite for the world. There's that old flesh. But even in you, there's a warfare going on because you have the spiritual man that's warring against the old fleshly man, and there's a battle going on right in you, and the world is leading the fleshly man along the way, and you and I are in this old world, but we're not alone. Thanks be to God, we're not alone. And we have a promise in the Word of God. You know it. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What a great, great promise that is. Peter says, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. And who are these strangers? They're identified as the what? The elect. The elect. They didn't choose themselves. They didn't decide to become elect. They didn't want to be elect. They didn't make a choice for God. They didn't say one day, okay, I'm going to serve God. I'm just going to submit myself to the Lord. They had to be taken from their high and lofty ideas about who they were and brought down to the dust of this earth to made to see. Not that they were ever high, but in their own mind and in their own thoughts, in the pride of their countenance, they would never seek after God, never feel like they need God. Do you understand today you need God? I do. Do you understand today that without Him I can't make it? I do. Do you know that my nets are going to remain empty as long as I go out fishing on my own and trusting in myself? I can't fill my nets. And even when God was blessing me, I didn't have an understanding that He was even blessing me until He made me aware of that. You know how many days the Lord has blessed us in our life? I said to you every single day, the Lord's blessing. He daily loads us with benefits. But how many of them could we not even see that until God awakens us to an understanding of what He's done? When He's awakened you, I'll tell you, you're a stranger here below. And you can say with the hymn writer, what I am, 'tis hard to know. Doesn't sound like somebody who's got it all together, does it? Because I am so vile, so full of sin, I even fear. You ever fear this? That I'm not born again. That maybe I'm not His. Let me say this to you. If you've ever felt that, that's a great evidence you belong to Him. Because it's only God's little children that ever feel that in their heart. Do I belong to Him? Is He with me? Does He care? Is He my God? Listen to their idea and thought. Is He my God? Says you believe He is God. You just worry and concerned about whether He is your God or not. If you believe that He is God, and yet you say, I don't know whether He cares about me, let me assure you, it is only by faith that you know He is God. It is only by faith that you can understand, I don't deserve His blessing. I don't deserve Him helping me. I've not done one thing to get myself out of the mess I'm in. I got myself in a mess, and I'm still there, and if God gave me what I deserved, His wrath would be poured out upon me. But rather than that, we are the recipients of His mercy and His grace. And can I say this to you? He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's not a weak, feeble God who can't help you unless you help Him. That's what the world's preaching today. The apostle didn't preach that. The faithful men of old have not preached that. And God forbid that anybody gets into an old Baptist pulpit anywhere and preaches a Savior who's not a complete Savior, and a God who's not sovereign and all-powerful and in control, and a God who's holding on to you. And His power is so great, He will not lose that which He has. Your salvation is not in your hands, it's in His hands. And by the way, your life is not in your hands. It's in His hands. And that's where you and I battle today. Lord, take my life and let it be. Take my hands and let them move. Take my feet. Let them go where You'd have me to go. Take my mouth and let it sing. Take my heart, Lord. Let it be trusting in Thee. Take my will and make it Thine. Now, let it no longer be mine. Let my way, dear Lord, become Thy way. Thy way be my way. And so that I am not just getting You to fit into my thinking, but I am conforming and transforming my thoughts into Your thinking so that I think and understand things the way that Thou understands them, not the way I want them to be. That means I'm going to trust Him unconditionally. I'm turning my life over. How much peace comes when you just turn it over. We're trying to make it, aren't we? Trying to get it. Trying to figure it out. Trying to lean on my own understanding. Trying to get it all worked out. Trying to get it all to fit. Trying to make sure it's fixed. Trying to make sure I cover all my bases. That I dot all my I's and cross all my T's. And the old flesh leads us into that kind of thinking, because the man with the pride of his countenance feels like he can handle it. We have been taught by the grace of Almighty God in our hearts that I am so vile and so full of sin, there is no way I can handle it. I will mess it up. There's no way I'm going to keep it. If my salvation is in part or in whole in anything I do, I will lose it because I cannot keep it. My trust has to be in a God who has the power to take care of the situation, whatever it may be, every day, every hour, every moment, wherever it is, whatever the time, when I can be there, when I can't be there, when I understand, when I don't understand, and I am to submit myself to that kind of God, because that's who He is. Listen, He's that God whether I submit or not. I'm just like, well, you know how a little child gets along in this world, and and those who are obedient, they seem to get along a little better than those that aren't, because a good mom and daddy are always correcting those that are disobedient, don't they? They make sure you get off track, they straighten you out. Listen, the Lord corrects and chastens every one of His children. How much better it is to say, oh Lord, just leave me, help me. Lord, keep me when my mouth starts running, when it ought to be quiet. Keep my mouth closed. When my thoughts, dear Lord, get so much that I don't know what to do with them, Lord, fill my mind and my thoughts with the good news of Thy Word, that there is a God in heaven. And the promise is there's a heaven that awaits. And whatever I've got in this time world, it's just a puff of smoke. It's just a vapor. James says that your life is but a vapor. It's a puff of smoke. It'll just be here for a while and it soon vanisheth away. That's a promise from God's Word. And therefore, any trouble we have in light of heaven and all that awaits us, it's just a short little time, whatever that may be. And what it does is allow us to have a peace in the moment, in the conflict, in the trouble, in the storm, while we're here in this world. Listen, heaven awaits us, but I'm here in this world right now, aren't I? Today is today, and I've got problems that are big today. I've got a trouble going on right now in my heart, and in this old world, it seems like I'm being hit by afflictions and problems. And Job said, I look to the right, and I can't seem to find the Lord. And I look to the left, and I can't seem to find the Lord. And I look forward, and I can't seem to find the Lord. I look behind, and I can't seem to find the Lord. And he says, but I know His way is not hid, that my way is not hid with him. I know he's got me. Like I've been trying to say to myself all week, God's got this. He's got me. He's got my life. He's got my family. He's got our church. He's a sovereign God. There's nothing hidden from him. There's nothing too little that he doesn't know about. Nothing too big that he can't handle. And I am to trust in him with all my heart. Listen, that's not the heart that's desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? There's a heart in man that just doesn't know the things of God. But those who've been given a new heart have been given a heart that's been touched and tendered. A heart of flesh. A hard and stony heart has been removed. And we've been given a heart of flesh so that we can trust in him with all that heart. That inner man, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not, hear me, lean not on your own understanding. That means I got to say, Lord, I'm submitting myself unto thy will. And I want to rest in this. I want to have peace in this. It doesn't mean all the pain and the problem goes away, but he gives you strength sufficient for the hour and for the moment. And there's a mixture of sorrow and a mixture of rejoicing. You don't just get to be happy all the time and don't sorrow some. There's some sorrow that comes. We sorrow, but we rejoice also. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. I could look it up, but it's there. Maybe chapter 6, where we're sorrowing and yet rejoicing. It's those words right there, describing God's people. He says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Oh, isn't it wonderful to know we have a God of foreknowledge? Now, that didn't mean he looked down. Some people say, well, I understand foreknowledge. That means he looks down and he sees who's going to do this and he's going to do that. And then God makes a decision based on what he would do. I'll tell you, when God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, you want to see his foreknowledge? You know what he saw? Did he see anybody doing good? Did he see one of us changing our minds, changing our hearts? Did he see any of us stirring up ourselves to follow the Lord? What did the scripture say? When God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, he saw there was none good. No, not one. He saw there was none that stirred himself up to seek after God. There was none that would have chosen him. There was none that loved him. There was none that would have followed him. And his foreknowledge was not that. His foreknowledge was not that it caused us to be his elect. He saw us all in our fallen state and made sovereign choice of his elect family in spite of the trouble and the enemies that we were of God and would be and would have continued to be. And he elected a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. And he has them scattered abroad. Here they were strangers scattered abroad throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia and Asia. And they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God. God foreknew them and those whom he foreknew. And I believe that foreknowledge embraces God's love. It means he foreknew them in that he loved them. He intimately loved them. They became his before the very foundation of the world. Men say, well, if you just choose God, then God will elect you. Listen, unless God elected you, you'll never choose him unless he works in you. And the scripture here is clear. They are elect. And it was according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father saw them and he chose them and gave them to his Son. And the Son came and died for them and paid the sin debt for them and washed them in his own blood. And then the Spirit of Almighty God awakens them and quickens them in time in the new birth. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. That means they've been called unto obedience. We've been called to be obedient. Now when you get to the obedience that is our righteousness, I'm going to tell you that's not our obedience. That's our righteousness. Now should we be obedient? Absolutely. But the only righteousness you and I'll have is through the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me. There was not a commandment that he broke. There was not a law that he didn't. He dotted every I and crossed every T. He fulfilled the commandments to a jot and to a tittle. He fulfilled the law. He kept the law. He was completely obedient. And through that obedience, we stand before God righteous. And yet He has called us unto obedience. This doesn't mean that we can just live any old way we want to. He gives us a new heart and a new mind where we want the laws of God are written upon our hearts, where we want to follow Him. And yet when we try to follow Him, even on our very best day, when we would do good, evil is present with us. So our righteousness does not come by our works. It's not by my works. It's not by my believing Him. It's not by my following Him. Isn't that thankful? Aren't you thankful? Do I want to be obedient? Do I need to be obedient? Absolutely. But my obedience is not what gives me my righteousness or proves that I am His. It is His obedience that is my righteousness. And I'm trusting and depending upon Him. If you want to be better, if your heart's broken because you aren't better, there's an evidence that you belong to Him. Hear me, brother. Hear me, sister. If you love the Lord and you're afraid you're not His, that's a great evidence you belong to Him. And you're kept not by your own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That comforts you when you get to saying, I fear that I'm not born again. The fear comes because of your understanding of who you are. But the peace comes when you rest, hear me, when you rest in what Jesus did. I want you resting in what Jesus did. Nowhere else. There's no rest to be found anywhere else. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit. That is when you're set apart by the Spirit. Listen, the Spirit has done a work in you as God's little children. A new birth has taken place and you've been set apart by the Spirit of Almighty God. You've been made a new creature. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. You've been reconciled unto God. Therefore, be ye reconciled unto God, because He has reconciled us unto Himself, and you and I are to have peace about that. And He says, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, dear ones, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Where is our salvation? It's in what Jesus did and the sprinkling of His blood. We have had the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled upon us. This doesn't mean there's not a lot of blood. Listen, the blood flowed from the hinder seat to the former seat. His blood flowed at Calvary because of the great weight and the amount of sin that was paid for. But I'm telling you, His blood was sufficient to remove every sin from us as far as the east is from the west. Do you believe that? Oh, I'm saying to you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. And He says, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, He said, grace unto you and peace. You need peace? I need His grace, don't you? I need His peace. And may it be multiplied. You know, I learned something in school. When you start multiplying things, they get big quick. It's not like adding. You start multiplying real quick. Things get real big quick. May His grace and His peace be multiplied unto us. Then He says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means praise be unto Him. Praise be unto Him. When we think about being blessed, God's people are blessed by the Lord when the Lord gives us blessings, when He supplies things to us. When you and I bless the Lord, it isn't that we give Him something He doesn't have. There's a blessing that comes from God. He blesses us when He gives us something we didn't have. He's blessed us. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You and I are to bless the Lord. That doesn't mean we give Him something He doesn't have, because He has everything. And there's nothing we could give Him that He already had doesn't have. But you and I are to bless Him in that we want to praise Him. Do you want to praise Him this morning? I want to praise Him. I trust Him. I want to praise Him. And He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means I want to give praise to the Lord. Why? Because He elected me. Why? Because He sanctified me by His Spirit. Why? Because He sprinkled His blood upon me. Why? Because He's called me unto obedience. And the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ is my obedience. He is my righteousness. I want to thank Him for that. Every day I want to get up and thank Him for that. Listen, every time we go to Him in prayer, we ought to thank Him that He saw fit to elect us. We ought to pray, thank Him that He saw fit to die for us. We ought to thank Him that He has washed us in His own blood. We ought to thank Him for the eternal promises that He has given us. And we ought to thank Him for being with us in every trouble, in every situation, so that our thoughts are looking to Him for everything that we stand in need of. You need Him. And I need Him. And I want to remember that every day. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Now, before somebody thinks, well, I'm getting this because I did so and so, it's not according to your works, is it? It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But according to His abundant mercy, we might think, well, God wouldn't do that for me. Listen, God's merciful. He's not just merciful. He has abundant mercy. And according to His abundant mercy, He hath begotten us again. That means we're born again. And we're born again unto a lively hope, which means He put His hope in us. You have a sweet hope. Some people discount hope and say, oh, if all you have is a hope, you don't have very much. I'll tell you, a hope that we have is not just a little wish. It is a earnest expectation of what the Lord is going to do for us, and what He's promised is the truth, and that there's a heaven that awaits, and every day He will be there and supply those things that we stand in need of. It's our hope that He's given us, but He's begotten us again and given us that lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Jesus went to the grave, didn't He? But He's a resurrected Savior. What does that mean for you? And what does that mean for me? Listen, if Jesus hadn't come forth from the grave, there would be none of us that were born of the Spirit of God, because we would not have been resurrected from the dead state we were in and made alive in Christ. There wouldn't be any first resurrection in us. We wouldn't be born. We wouldn't be, if you'd be risen with Christ, there would be none who were risen with Christ had Jesus not come forth as a resurrected Savior. That would also mean there would be, if there was no resurrection of Jesus and His body, there would be no resurrection or hope of the resurrection for us and for God's children. There would be none who would be in heaven. There would be no salvation. All of it's based in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has the exclamation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It says, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then we're called. We're elected and we're called to what? To an inheritance incorruptible. There's a place in heaven that's awaiting, that's an inheritance that is not going to get corrupted. The inheritances of this world get corrupted quick, don't they? Things that used to be valuable aren't valuable anymore. Things that you used to think, well, I just can't live without that, you can soon find that that's all what that, just like the preacher said, vanity of vanities. The wise man Solomon said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. Anything that's of this old world, I'm telling you, there's a place awaiting God's little children that is an inheritance that He's purchased for you by His resurrection and His death and His burial and His resurrection that will never fade away, that is incorruptible. You cannot corrupt it. No sin will enter there. Isn't that good news? Nothing that taints it or will spot it or blemish it. It's an inheritance incorruptible. And listen, it's undefiled. It's sin-free. And that fadeth not away. It's not going to fade away. And it's a reservation. It's reserved. And where is it reserved? It's reserved in heaven. And who's it reserved for? It's reserved for you. Who's the you? The ones who chose the Lord? No, the ones whom the Lord chose. It's the ones, now they ought to choose Him and ought to follow Him because of what He has done for them. And there will be a coming to Him that they will do in regeneration. All of them will come to Him in regeneration, and there won't be one of them that is lost. And they're kept not by their own power. And I want to get to that verse, and it's right here. Verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God. Hear me. I want you to know how you're kept. Because sometimes we're trying to keep ourselves. You try to keep yourself. Tell you what, you'll have as much benefit in that as they did trying to fish without the Lord. How many did they catch? Not a thing. And if you're trying to keep yourself, you cannot keep yourself. You will not. You're not able to keep yourself. We're not having to keep ourselves because He says, who? Who are kept by what? The power of God. Can I tell you? The power of God is what begins the work in a little child of grace. And He that has begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have that promise in God's Word. It's not something He starts and can't finish. If He's begun a good work in you, the promise is that He'll complete it. And that's what we are right now. We're just a work in progress. God's still working on us. But you're kept not by your own power, but by the power of God. And how are you kept? Through faith. All faith is a wonderful blessing, a wonderful gift of God. Under salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. And I know time is gone. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Hear this. In other words, this ought to make you happy. I hope I've made you happy. I hope by the grace of God, and I don't mean I hope the gospel's made you happy. I hope you can settle in what Jesus has done for you. Heaven awaits. And oh, that's great. Heaven's awaiting. Isn't that good news? All the trouble of this world, heaven awaits. Nothing can shake that. I'm kept by the power of God. He has worked in me. He sanctified me by His Spirit. He's foreknown me. He's elected me. He's died for me. I've been sprinkled by His blood. I've been kept by the power of God. And nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And yet here I am and I'm rejoicing. But there's still trouble. I got trouble in this old world. And He says, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Sometimes this world gets to be hard for God's little children. I'm rejoicing in what awaits, but I'm having a hard time going through today. I'm having a hard time in the moment I'm in. I'm having a hard time in the battle that I'm fighting right now. And I need strength for the moment and for the hour. And I'm going through this and I don't understand why. Well, He gives us a little hint here of why. Because our faith needs to be tried. Your faith needs to be grown. I was talking to a brother walking along and we were talking about why someone was going through something. And the response was, I believe she's going through that in order to help her faith be strong. You know, that was an amazing statement because it was the truth. Our faith gets strong as it's tested. How does your faith get stronger? When you test it. And can I tell you, your faith will not fail because it is given to you by the Lord and the Lord has prayed for you that your faith fail not, just like He did Peter. He said, Peter, the devil has desired to have thee, that he may sift thee like wheat. Sift thee like wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. In other words, he said, the devil has desired to have you. That is all of God's little children. That was the disciples, but all of God's children. But He's prayed specifically for Peter that his faith would not fail. I believe the Lord's prayed for our faith, that it would not fail. Thy faith will not fail thee. So I am to use that faith that God has given me. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that cannot fail. And as I'm hit with the fiery darts of the wicked, that faith will stand strong. It'll quench every fiery dart. I am to put on that armor. That's part of the armor that I'm to wear. Take the shield of faith. We go forward into the battle. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Can I tell you that the faith God has given you, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that faith that He's given you, that's how you can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's how Enoch had a testimony that he was the friend of God and walked with God. It's because of the faith that God had given, that he pleased God by the faith that God had given him. It's the gift God has given you. It's the ability you have to trust in Him. And I'm telling you from this scripture, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I'm telling you, in the midst of the storm, what happens to gold when it's put in the fire? It's purified and made more pure. The dross and the wood and the stubble is all burned away and you're left with pure gold. And when you and I get into the afflictions of this world, the Lord is cleaning us up. He's helping us. He's humbling us. He's causing us to trust in Him more and lean upon Him more. And with a little child of God, it means you lean upon your faith more. You stop figuring it out yourself. That's what I need to do. Just stop figuring it out myself. And turn it over to the Lord. And I'll tell you, when you get in places where you know you can't get it figured out, that's when you're able to do that. That's when your gold is tried in the fire. And He says, it might be found unto the what? The praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I believe the Lord's coming again. I believe he's going to appear the second time. I believe he's going to carry us out of this world. But I don't believe that's just the only time we get to see him. I want to finish it, but I can't. The time is gone, and I would never finish it anyway. But I'm saying to you, you get to see him when you get in those troubles. We sing a hymn that says, "He whispers sweet peace to me." When you're in the midst of those troubles and you get so much in the dark, you wonder if I'm going to ever see him again, and you get to see him in the, and I believe you're enjoying the kingdom when this happens. I believe you're in the presence of the Lord. You get to see him with an eye of faith and you hear him. He whispers sweet peace to me. And you know, though I don't know the way, Lord, I know it's going to be all right because I am in thy hands and I belong to thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Let's stand and sing 398. We'll sing this hymn and do publish the open door of the church. There'll be one or more here who love the Lord. And if you love him, it's because he first loved you. And you have a desire to take up your cross and follow him in baptism as he has commanded us to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That is those pricked in the heart by the gospel. You take up your cross and you follow him, not to become his child, but to have an answer of a good conscience towards God. And then there'll be one more that desire that you let your feelings be made known. Desire to unite with this church, and he says the church is represented to give you an opportunity to let your feelings be made known. There's a peace that you'll find in baptism you won't find outside of it. It doesn't make you again his child, but it sure makes you happy. And we'll sing 398, Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can remain when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden
Saturday before the fourth Sunday at 2:30 is our conference meeting. That will also be a call time, a call for the offices of the church, pastor, and other offices of the church. We will choose them.